This was dangerous. If she bit her lip any harder, thought Livia Stewart, it would probably begin to bleed, sending a bright red rivulet dripping down her chin and end up staining, in a spectacularly uncouth way, the bodice of her gown. The bodice of the gown which, Cecily had casually mentioned, was hers from 2 years ago.
"And you've altered it so cleverly, I scarcely recognised it."
Cecily's voice was soft and friendly, but in her pretty blue eyes there was, unmistakably, the gleam of cruel mischief.
"I knew, of course, from the colour, which is no longer quite in fashion."
Short of telling Cecily to stuff it, there didn't really seem anything Livia could say, but she was spared the necessity of trying to think up something polite when Lady Glanville, Cecily's mother, turned her gaze to Livia and subjected her person to a comprehensive scrutiny. "Indeed," her ladyship finally said, with the gravity of one considering a matter of deep existential import, "that particular shade of rose was very popular. Princess Charlotte, I believe, favoured it highly. I'm not at all certain, however, that it's suitable for one of your colouring, Livia, dear. It complements fair hair, such as Cecily's, as well as a pale complexion like hers. I'm sorry to say that you are rather brown." "She would be out of doors so much," Aunt Bella interpolated in her vague, melancholy way. "I've told her repeatedly how injurious it is to both health and appearance, but I do not think Livia attends to me." She sighed gustily, sending the faded ribbons of her cap a-fluttering. "I do not think anyone attends to me. I do not think I am listened to by—"
"Far be it from me to pontificate," said Lady Glanville, "but one ought not to dwell on oneself, you know. We must always think of others, as Cecily does, for example. She could give her cast-off gowns to her maids, as most other young ladies do, but instead she insists that dear little Livia have them. It's quite touching, really."
"Your Uncle Charles doesn't give you a dress allowance, does he, Livia?"
Cecily's tone was sympathetic, too sympathetic.
"But then, you don't go anywhere, so perhaps it doesn't matter a great deal."
"No," Livia answered flatly. "No, it doesn't matter at all." Now it was Lady Glanville who audibly sighed as she glanced around the large drawing room with its dated, shabby furniture. The wallpaper from a generation ago, pockmarked with ghostly rectangles, where valuable paintings had once hung, but had since been sold. "It's dreadfully lowering," she said, "to see a gentleman's family so reduced. Why, it was only 10 years ago that we met nearly as equals." Livia felt her teeth grit. She'd been forced to participate in these occasional morning visits from Cecily, the Honourable Miss Orr, and her mother, the Right Honourable Viscountess Glanville, for years. Because they were wealthy and high-born, apparently their arrogance and rudeness were to be endured. Livia clenched her hands tightly in the folds of her gown. Cecily's gown.
"Well, there's no use in dwelling on what can't be changed," went on Lady Glanville. "I am afraid that life simply isn't fair. A disagreeable fact, but what can one do? Now do stop frowning, Livia dear, for I'm delighted to tell you we've come for the express purpose of offering a little treat."
"I'm all ears, ma'am," replied Livia with what had to be obvious sarcasm, but Lady Glanville only said, with her arctic smile,
"We are hosting a ball next week. It shall be a kind of debut for Cecily. In addition, Mr. Gabriel Penhallow and his grandmother, Mrs. Penhallow, come to visit us," Cecily said breathlessly. "The Penhallows, of Sermont Hall. We met Mrs. Penhallow in Bath a few months ago. She wrote us a letter. He's going to—"
"My dear Cecily, pray refrain from interrupting. It is most unbecoming," said her ladyship. "As you know, Bella, earlier in the summer, I insisted that Lord Glanville go to Bath in order to drink from the waters. His gout, unfortunately, had been paining him a great deal. The nobleman's affliction. And I thought Cecily might benefit from mixing in a wider society, for it is sadly limited in this neighbourhood. There are, alas, so few families of our calibre. As both the daughter of an earl and as a viscountess, I fear I cannot but be aware of how limited our acquaintance must necessarily be.